Blog Talk Radio.
We are recruiters for Christ. We are recruiters for Christ. We are called to make disciples and show the world our light. We are recruiters for Christ. We are recruiters for Christ. And if our words are loud enough, they'll know us by our light. We are recruiters. We are recruiters for Christ. We are recruiters for Christ. We are called to make disciples and show the world our light. We are recruiters for Christ. We are recruiters for Christ. And if our words are loud enough, they'll know us by our light. We are recruiters. We are recruiters for Christ. We are recruiters for Christ. We are called to make disciples and show the world our light. We are recruiters for Christ. We are recruiters for Christ. And if our words are loud enough, they'll know us by our light. We are recruiters.
What up, what up, what up? This is Adrian Reese, and you're tuned into The Recruit, brought to you by Soar Radio. Big up to my man, PDP Richardson. And we got a great show in store for you guys today. But just like we do every week, we're going to start it off by welcoming God into what we're doing and go to God in prayer. So everybody out there, if you would, bow your head and let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we come to you, Lord, first of all, saying thank you, God. Thank you for this time right now, Lord, that you've allowed us to be vessels, be instruments for you, Lord. I ask you just help us to truly be that, Lord. Be instruments for you, Lord, that we may be in tune with you, God, and you be heard and not us ourselves, Lord. And we ask you just continue to lead the conversation, Lord, the questions that are asked, the answers that are given, that you may be heard, you may be felt, you may be seen, you may be glorified, God. And all that said, Lord, we ask you just do your thing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
And like I said, as always, I always say we got a great show because we always do. And I've got my co-host, my executive producer, my Reeve, my Mac Reeve, my everything here with me is my wife, Michonne. Say what's up, baby.
Hey, man. Glad to be back.
Yeah, it's a home away from home, but got my co-host on with me. And we're excited about the show today. We've got our first couple on the show with us, which is the first for us, actually having a conversation with two people at the same time. And it's a couple, DJ and Brianna Whiting. DJ's been on the show before. He's my cousin. He's been on the show. He was on the show season one. And just kind of a brief history on us. We're kinfolk, we're cousins, but our relationship really grew in closeness after I accepted Christ. And he was already saved, and we were kind of in the same place and dealing with some of the same things, a lot of the same things. And we were able to, looking back on it, realizing that we were able to kind of do life together. Because I hear that term a lot. So we were able to kind of do life together on a lot of things, and he was able to minister to me, and I was able to minister to him, and our relationship just kind of grew and flourished from there. And he got married last year, and to his wife Brianna, and they both are into music. They both serve as worship leaders. Thank you, babe.
Mm-hmm.
They both serve as worship leaders and just knowing their heart. Like I said, I know DJ's heart. I know Brianna's heart. And seeing their heart, that they truly have a heart and a passion for Christ. And how worship, praise and worship has really, sometimes it can be seen as a show or as a performance. And but in order to be a worship leader, how you should really lead with worship, like in your everyday life. And so that's kind of a little brief history on DJ and Brianna. But I don't want to prolong the time, but I just want to bring them on and just kind of get right into it. So with no further ado, Mr. DJ and Mrs. Brianna Whiting. What's up, fellas? What's up, guys?
What's going on, man? Hey, everybody. Nice to be here. What's up, everybody?
Now, I've already kind of shared a little brief history about you guys, but didn't really go into too much detail. So go ahead and tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, like you said, Brianna is, we currently go to Antioch Christian Fellowship in Corinth, Texas.
Okay.
And my wife, Brianna, actually serves as the worship leader there. And we've been there for about...
It was a year this month.
A year this month. And so she's really hands in a lot more in the music ministry. I play a little bit, play instruments sometimes, but she's consistently the praise and worship leader. And that's where we serve, and that's where we've been. And so that's kind of a little bit about who we are, where we're serving right now.
And so... like you said, you shared a little bit about yourself. You heard about, we heard about you. Now I'm going to refer to your wife and just kind of get a little background, you know, so everybody kind of gets to know you. Of course, me and Michonne, we know you, but how is it that you guys met? How did you, you know, you're married now, you're newlyweds, still fairly newly in marriage. How did you guys start off?
Well, from my perspective, we started off meeting through my uncle. That was the first knowledge that I had of DJ, through my Uncle Titus. He was actually DJ's sales manager whenever he sold insurance in the big city of Marshall, Texas. So that's how I met him. DJ has a more elaborate story of how he came to know me. I was just on the other end and up in there, and I ended up marrying him. So it was a good decision.
Crazy love.
Well, for me, believe it or not, well, music actually kind of played a part in Brianna and I meeting and kind of dating and ultimately being married, because I was introduced to her while I was at junior college at Panola through my 737 college worship team. One of the young ladies in the team wanted us to listen to a video of a lady singing, and it ended up being Brianna. So I was actually initially introduced to her as she was actually singing Encourage Yourself on a YouTube clip. So I was introduced to her through music, and obviously because I'm a musician and she's a singer, God has been able to use that ministry together. We've been able to serve together, even, you know, going to Africa and in different places in the U.S. Using our gifts together.
And I would like to, I mean, I saw the clip from Africa, and it was pretty powerful for me, even wanting Adrian to share it on Facebook as we got ready to prepare for this time. So what was the experience like in Africa, leading worship there and being able to minister in a different country and being kind of different there? How was that? Africa overall, it was a beautiful experience. It was a heart-wrenching experience. It was a lot of emotions that came with it. As far as worship, one thing that I think I was able to take away from the whole Africa experience is that worship is so universal.
Mm-hmm.
We were there singing songs in English,
mm-hmm.
and the people of Zambia didn't necessarily know what we were saying, but worship just became universal once they caught on,
yeah.
and they began to sing the lyrics. It was like worship just began to take over. And we didn't have an opportunity to learn a song in their language. It was in Bembe, I believe, or Chichewa. It was one of those. And we were able to learn one of their worship songs, and we sung that, you know, every area we went to in Zambia. And that created just a unity in worship as well. So that was the overall experience. Beautiful. You know, it was a lot. So.
Yeah, y'all got to excuse me. I'm dying. We're just having a little fun here. Like you said, you guys are, you DJ, you were into music, and Brianna, you were into, you were a singer. And for those of you who don't know, The Recruit, the intro song, the jingle for The Recruit, is brought to you by DJ and Brianna Whitey in collaboration with Michael Craig. Got to give him a little plug. A little shout out there.
Michael Craig.
But it's brought to you by DJ and Brianna Whitey. And it's just amazing, even in that, like you said, that's kind of something that you both shared a passion for. You both had a passion for music and a passion for Christ before that, and how God merged that. And just even with you guys coming together and putting together the intro song for The Recruit, it's thinking back on it, it's kind of amazing to me, just because when I was looking for someone to kind of put something together for it, I tried to go a different direction and include someone that I just wanted to include. It wasn't really like God was leading me to do it, but and sitting back and really just seeking God on the issue. It's almost like you guys came to mind along with Mike Craig, and I reached out to Mike, and he reached out to y'all. And so it's like God put us all on the same page, and, you know, that really kind of sets the tone of what praise and worship is, because it's not just, you know, everybody who just heard the intro song, it's not like it's a church song. Or like your typical praise and worship song, but that is a praise and worship song, because the heart of it is we are all included for Christ, and we use this to worship God, to show our heart for Him, to show our passion for Him, and that's what you guys kind of model and exemplify in what you do, just like you were talking about going to Africa and serving there and learning something in their language, to where you could really further and better minister to them, to where they not only, you know, could see your heart, but they could hear the words and understand the words and better comprehend, okay, what is God saying through you, not just the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And so just in keeping with the topic of praise and worship beyond the music, it's one of those things to where, like I mentioned before, that within the church and even outside of the church, praise and worship has become something that is just a part of the program. It's just a 10-15 minute part of the program that you do, and then it kind of is supposed to set the mood, but a lot of times, just me on the outside looking in, it sometimes seems like a performance.
Yeah.
Almost like you're at a concert and they want you to get up and, you know, it's all, they might as well say, wave your hands in the air and all this. But what does praise and worship mean to you guys?
For me, praise and worship is definitely, it doesn't start at the music for me. I believe that worship really is a lifestyle. I can get up and just sing a praise and worship song and not go anywhere, you know, if my personal lifestyle is not lining up with that. You know, you have a lot of people that just sing, you know, they just sing songs. But whenever you get up and you lead praise and worship, you're not thinking about the songs that you're singing, but you're thinking about ministering, you know, to the people. Okay, how can I serve the people that I'm ministering to today? In what way can I lift up depression or in this pit of despair? Like, how can I minister to this person, you know, to bring them into a better situation or just show them the love of Christ or whatever it may be? Yeah, praise and worship, but that starts at home. You know, it starts with reading your word. It starts with praying. It starts with developing that personal relationship. Because, like, I can't minister to you and tell you how to get out of something, you know, if I haven't spent time with God myself, and I don't know God to be this thing that I'm trying to portray to other people, you know, for Him to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, praise and worship for me, like I said, it starts with a lifestyle, you know. Me getting up and leading worship, and then cussing somebody out right after church is not, you know, praise and worship.
Yeah.
You know, that's not lifestyle. So I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, praise and worship definitely doesn't start with the music. If it does start with the music, then that's when I think it becomes a performance.
Yeah,
but it's nothing but, you know, me getting up using my gift, not even meaning the word obscene, just doing it because it's my position or my role, then I think that, you know, that's when you made a mention of how it can so easily become a performance. And in a lot of ways it is, and, you know, whatever. But, yeah, praise and worship has to begin with your personal life. Like she said, if you're not seeking the Lord personally and privately, I think that that's going to kind of exude out of you. Like, people will be able to notice that. They'll be able to tell. And I think that when you get up to lead praise and worship, as well as considering the fact that you're ministering to people, it's also remembering and realizing the lyrics that you're singing and the God that you're singing them to, and believing them even as you're singing these songs. You know, how great is our God? Not be just repeating that melody, but really thinking about, you know, creation and thinking about, like, wow, how great is our God?
Yeah.
And it's singing and believing that others who see and realize that, wow, if you really believe God is great, I think sometimes they begin to think, well, he's right, God is greater, and they're encouraged that, okay, if God's great, then he's greater than my situation. So I think that in a lot of ways, praise and worship has the ability to really help people when it's done the right way and when we prepare the right way to do that. Because it's easy if you're gifted to get up and fake it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to get up and play and no one, you know, can sometimes not know what you're doing in your private life. But I think the most effective worship leaders are those whose worship doesn't start when they hit a key on the keyboard, but when they've actually, when they're actually living a life of true praise and worship.
And I love that, because this past week I saw a Facebook status actually that said favor, gifting, anointing is supposed to be used for purpose, not status.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So instead of us using the gifting that God has given us to make this status about how we're, you know, moving mountains and, how, you know, basically how we're doing all this out of our own power, it's kind of what it's become instead of just this offering back to Christ.
Right.
It's what he's given us, and we're offering it back to him.
Yeah.
But saying that, I don't know, just kind of speaking to the worship leaders, if there are any listening tonight, What would that look like as far as really making sure to prioritize your time with the Lord? And I know that, I mean, it seems basic, but I think with worship leaders, we see you guys, like, on this platform, and so we assume, you know, they're good. You know, they don't need accountability. They don't need community. You know, whatever they're doing it right, because we see them connect with God every Sunday, whether that's true or that's not true, you know. So, I mean, even if it's basic, you know, Christianity, what does that start? How does that look when it comes to you guys and your quiet time with the Lord, or your, you know, intimacy with the Lord? What does that look like on a day-to-day basis?
I specifically would say, just to kind of go back before I answer that, is that because we're on the platform and because people see us, I believe that it is such a great opportunity for pride. And I think that a lot of us sometimes can fall into that trap, because people do assume that our walks are good, and people do assume, well, if he's getting up and playing, if she's getting up and singing, then we're, you know, on a high level of pride.
Yeah.
But in reality, I think we have, in a way, even more purpose, especially because we see the attack that the enemy has had specifically against those who do music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we see as a church, you know, so many, you know, in this specific realm or this, who use a specific gift, you know, falling left and right. So I think that because of that, our personal walk, our private time is something that cannot at all be neglected.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically from a standpoint of humility, because when you're on a platform, it's easy for people to glorify you.
Yeah.
To glorify your gift. Wow, you sound amazing. Wow, you're this, you're anointed, you're that.
Yeah.
And it's so easy for it to go to your head. And
yeah.
for you to start to believe these things. And as you get up on Sunday, you're singing without God, but in reality, praise and worship is for them to praise and worship you on the platform. And so I think that can sometimes... that can sometimes be, you know, one of the reasons why praise and worship leaders, specifically in their quiet time, like I would say for me, my quiet time consistently just consists of a John Piper devotion. I really like a guy named John Piper. So not only do I do that, but I have to make sure that I make an appointment to pray. Because it's easy to neglect prayer sometimes.
Yeah.
We can, you know, get up and we're running late and we're in a crunch. And so it's okay, God, I've got an appointment with you to pray. And then whatever that time looks like, whatever it is for me, I have to type out my prayer on my MacBook, because that's just where I do it. But it's just like whatever that place and whatever that time is, like that meeting with God cannot be neglected at all. It's the most important thing in your day. So, you know, if all else fails, that time of intimacy with Christ, it just cannot be neglected at all, not only because of what you do, but also because of the fact that, I mean, before we were praise and worship leaders, we're Christians.
Yeah.
And our relationship with Christ is priority. And it's a necessity, especially when you're going to be cornered to the lives of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe that a lot of times what they get is what you got this
mm-hmm.
way.
Yeah, and it can be draining. If you're not seeking God, it can be draining getting up. And I've been in that place where I was just leading worship, but I wasn't seeking God in my own personal life, and it began to show. I remember my pastor, Pastor Redford, he preached a sermon out of John 15, I believe, where he talked about the vine
mm-hmm.
and the vine dress, and he talked about the analogy that he used was when you first cut that vine, it looks like it's still connected because the leaves are still green. But over time, the leaves begin to wither away and they begin to, like, fall off. And I remember when I heard that sermon, it really changed my life because I was able to see that that was me.
Yeah.
Like, after I had been cut, and when I say cut, meaning I wasn't seeking God like I should have,
mm-hmm.
after I had been cut from my story, it still looked like I was connected.
Mm-hmm.
When I got to lead worship,
mm-hmm.
you know, people were still able to worship with me. It still looked like I was, you know,
mm-hmm.
doing what I was supposed to do. But over a period of time, I started to just wither away
mm-hmm.
because I wasn't being poured into. I wasn't seeking God for myself. And it's like, it's so necessary. And even he made mention of humility. Humility is the first step.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first of all, you have to realize that we're not worthy of doing anything,
yeah.
you know, for God. You have to realize that anytime we get up and stand before people and worship,
mm-hmm.
you know, or lead people into worship, we're still, you know, our goodness is still filthy rags.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's not good enough. So it's an honor to be able to worship God. I mean, you take that perspective, it's hard for you to go in and say, oh, I'm this,
yeah.
or because I have this platform, I'm better than somebody else, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's hard to have that mentality when you think about, okay, no, I'm just messed up.
Yeah.
You know, it's not worth.
Yeah.
You know, I believe praise and worship leaders and people that are on the front line, I believe they deal with some of the most difficult things. I feel like the enemy attacks them the most
mm-hmm.
because they want them to fall, you know, in front of everybody,
mm-hmm.
and they want them to, you know,
be exposed.
You know, so you have to stay humble. You have to stay prayed up. You have to keep seeking God, you know,
mm-hmm.
and stay connected.
Yeah.
Stay connected.
Yeah, and seeking Christ has to be like, because we hear that a lot, like, seek the Lord,
mm-hmm.
seek the Lord, but that genuinely has to be your walk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really does. It genuinely has to be your walk, because if you're not seeking the Lord, and you're serving in any ministry, I just think that it gives, you know, an opportunity for Satan to really, you know, give them interest.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that obviously, you know, there's an old saying, if you let them in the back seat, eventually, you know, you're going to watch it go through the drive of the car.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think that the humility aspect of it, because humility isn't something that we can, it's not a tangible thing. Like, it's something
mm-hmm.
that we have to constantly be praying for. God, work humility in my heart. It's not a characteristic that's always visible.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it always has to be a prayer as a worship leader. And then also thinking about the fact that we who are on the front line, we who lead, are more accountable in judgment.
Uh-huh.
So we kind of held more accountable
mm-hmm.
because of the position that we have,
mm-hmm.
because of the influence and because
yeah.
of the lives and such that we have the ability to affect, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So also understanding the weight that comes with that responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you say that too, because it's like I think we often look at what we're doing as kind of our measuring stick for how close we are to God. So it's like, well, I'm doing this, and it becomes this legalistic way of living and lifestyle. And so what people can see is people can say, oh, yeah, you're real holy, but they can't see our hearts. You know, they can't see us dying on the inside. So,
and, you know, and that makes me think as well about one thing that DJ used to always say to me, he still says it today, you can't be focused on how the crowd responds.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't, because the crowd may say, man, that was great, you sounded
yeah.
awesome, girl, you did that, the anointing. You know, and you walk away, and it's like, the question at hand is, was God pleased with that?
Yeah.
You know, because they see you worshiping, but God sees your heart.
Yeah.
Like, Were you really worshiping God in spirit and in truth?
Mm-hmm.
Were you worshiping yourself and getting hyped up about
mm-hmm.
people telling you the same girl,
mm-hmm.
whatever it may be? So that's the question to ask. Like, is God pleased with what I'm doing? It don't
yeah.
matter. The people won't fade away. You
yeah.
know, people are fickle. They'll love you one day,
You hit the wrong note, they don't like you. Well, you know, all
right, give it up. I don't like this song.
But it's God, please, with what you're doing, and not just with what you're doing in that moment, but in your life, like lifestyle, is God, please, you know.
So that's kind of how you say, is God, please, with it. And just even thinking about singing, it's like, you know, we can sing in tune in any key, but are we in tune with Christ? And are we, can, like you said, are we still connected to Christ and seeking Christ? And are we in tune with Him? And, like, with you guys being a married couple and serving together in that ministry of praise and worship, how has that, or if any way, has that grown your relationship with Christ? And being able to serve with each other and having a husband you can serve with and a wife you can serve with, how's that grown you guys' relationship or shown you another, open your eyes to what Christ is in your life? Has it taken you deeper in any type of way?
I would say that being able to serve with my wife has, it's really, I receive it as a gracious opportunity, specifically in the music ministry. And then, you know, seeing my wife labor has been something that is, has caused me to appreciate her more. And not only necessarily appreciate her, but also has kind of helped me, you know, in music and in my relationship with God, seeing how she labors and how she is so committed to music, how she, you know, has really a heart to worship, and how she worships God even in the privacy of our home, has caused me to say, okay, you know what, let me start. Let me pick up my guitar and worship Jessica as well. So it's definitely encouraged me in that aspect. Sometimes, you know, I'm like, man, she can stop singing. But I think she's worshiping around the house. You know, she's using that gift, not just there, but she's around the house.
And
she's just going around and worshiping and singing. It's like, that's what Scripture tells us, to make melody in our hearts always. And so, you know, that's one of the things that I can say that I've been able to appreciate in an area where I've been able to grow, you know, in ministering, you know, with her in music. It's like, hey, it's not just what we do, you know, in public, but at the house. It's worshiping together.
I think for me, marriage, being married will definitely give you a mirror. You know, when you're not saying that you don't have a mirror right here, not saying that you don't have people that will call you out when you're not married, but it's like when you're married, you can get up and try to fake all you want.
Yeah.
When you get home, you'll tell somebody, or your wife is going to be like, you weren't doing what you were supposed to do. You have somebody that's going to check you and call you out, you know, and it's a blessing to me to have somebody that's pushing me and encouraging me to do more, you know, and to be authentic, to not just be this person out in public, but, you know, do it at home. You know, don't just shut the job.
That's true.
So how is it now that you guys, how long have you been married? Oh, it'll be 2 years in January. 2 years.
Yep.
So 2 years in marriage is still considered new. How has it been for your quiet time, your personal time with the Lord? How were you guys able to, like,
balance
and, you know, juggle that for our young audience who's just getting married and maybe had all these hours just, you know, walk on the lake and lay prostrate for the Lord? But now, you know, you have different responsibilities.
Your time is not just your time.
So how have you guys found a nice balance in, you know, serving each other but also keeping the Lord as the head of number one in your life?
Well, I would say as far as in the quiet time, that's kind of been not necessarily a challenge, but it's been a thing where, like you're saying, you're used to being able to, for example, I'd like to go to the balcony, and I'm used to spending, you know, as much time as I need on the balcony. But then I get a knock on the glass, like, hey, I need you to come in here and call me. You know what I mean? So I had to be more considerate with that time. I've also had to be more efficient with my time. Like, thank God, if I've got 20 minutes of prayer, I can't, you know, sit and look at the clouds for 10 of those minutes. Like, I've got to realize, daydream, I realize that I've got to, you know, be efficient with my time. I've got 20 minutes, then I want to get in and listen to my song of worship, and then get right into the prayer or to whatever it is. And
make it count.
Yeah, it's helped me to make my time count. Uh-huh. It taught me the kind of the value of my time, and then also it makes you appreciate that time that you get with the Lord even more because you realize, like, okay, when this is over, like, I got a thousand things to do. Exactly. And so you're exactly right, man. That's kind of what happens. It's like, you know, it's really that balance of, okay, God, you got to help me to do this with this time thing, because that's really what it is. I think we talk about your quiet time and come to a time management type thing. How are you managing your time? Because that's kind of how quiet time can be neglected when you're not managing your time well. And I'm like, I don't got time. I got to get a shower and I got to go.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that kind of opens the door for that kind of slow
drift
that can sometimes happen, and even does happen to us sometimes.
We definitely haven't mastered it. But as he was talking, I was thinking, whenever you get married, it's easy to kind of want to merge your quiet time together, you know, and I just want to stress the importance of still having your own separate quiet time. Like, it's good to come together and, like, pray with each other and, you know, fast with each other and read the word together. Good. But you have to remember you have your own personal relationship with God as well, and you have to make sure you set aside that time with God, because if you don't, you find yourself, you know, depending on your mate to pray every day instead of, you know, knowing in your heart, okay, no, I need to see God for myself.
God,
I need to have that relationship. So that's just something to throw in there.
And it's something that, you know, with Sean and I being new at now, we're still learning. I mean, it kind of hit me in my face on our honeymoon. We weren't even married a week to where it was, you know, we had went from, you know, being singles and, well, we were engaged, but not living together, not spending the night together to, okay, she's here when I go to sleep, she's here when I wake up. And before, it was like, when we get off the phone at night, I pray I have my time. When I wake up in the morning before I call her, I pray I have my time. And now she's here when I roll over. So it's like, okay, you up, I'm up, let's do something together. And so it's like God, it was really humbling. God had to humble me. We're on a honeymoon, so I'm waking up thinking, okay, well, what do I do? How do I serve my wife? And my first thought is not, what do I do today to serve God? Like, before, it was getting my devotion, spending time with God to start my day. Now is, okay, let me get up and get ready so I can prepare things for my wife. And, yes, she is my heart, she is my world, but God is my everything. And he has to, that's still a prayer of mine, just balance. So, God, help me to keep you first and then my wife. Because it's a challenge. It's easy. It is. It is easy to put my wife first and then say, okay, God, now I got the time for you. But now I know my wife's happy. And so now let me try to do something to please you within 5 minutes. I'm on my way to work. I'm running late. I'm praying as my eyes open. I'm running fast. All these cars. But, I mean, that is, I can definitely agree. Like, that is definitely a challenge. And, I mean, it's something that, that I really don't know, just be married for more than 2 months, that you ever really get down perfect. It'll always be something you work at. And just even in, like, balancing time for God and balancing time for your husband, your spouse, your wife, when it comes to praise and worship, like when, I know, like you just hit on, it's an individual affair. You have to make sure that you're in tune with God, that you're worshiping God before you hit the stage, because people can really see, okay, they can feel the spirit within the song, behind the song. And so just kind of really stepping back and looking at you guys as individuals before you came together in marriage, what is it that really drew you to Christ and kind of established that love for music?
I would say, I would just say music has always played a big part in my life, even before Christ, because you know, how you are in high school, you know, those special times, you can always put them with a song, right? I mean, it's just like, you know, music has always had such an influence on me, and I always, from a young age, understood the power of music and how music almost can control your emotions. Like, you can do something listening to a song that you would never do just because of the influence of the music.
Yeah.
So I knew always that there was power in music, but I think that obviously being raised in the church and then kind of growing in my relationship with Christ kind of at a later age, like I understood that that same sort of influence could be used in a way to impact people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
So music kind of, so I saw music, you know, in a different light at about 18, 19, and I saw it is a tool that could be used, you know, like I said, to really influence people, to also to share the gospel with it, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I know for me, I grew up around music. My mom's a musician of a church in East Texas, and she would always drag me along to sing. I always laugh when I think about my first solo was singing the I Love You, Barney song when I was, like, 3 years old at Offering at church. So it's always been in my heart to, like, sing and, you know, but honestly, I feel like music kind of drew me in more with my relationship with Christ because I feel like it, I don't know. If I don't have the words to say, I can sing a song, you know, and just like you have that love song between you and your wife or you and your husband or you and your boo, whatever, it's like you can have that same love song between you and God, and it's like, you know, you hear this song and you get butterflies, and you're like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, I just love you so much, and it makes you feel some type of way about God, not in a weird way, but
yeah.
It just makes you really reverence and just appreciate and love him more, and then you think about just all that he's done for you, and you just, you know, pretty know it's here that's flowing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, for me, music takes me to a place, you know, just in God where I'm just worshiping and appreciating him just for who he is. So that's it for me for music.
And it, you're kind of just wanting to hear the why,
mm-hmm.
the why behind what you do,
mm-hmm.
how it started, how it originated. How it started and why it continues even now. Because sometimes, you know, people can get into something when they're young and then they kind of lose the heart for it,
mm-hmm.
but they continue to do it
right.
just because they're good at it.
Right.
And it's you guys really have kind of already hit on that just in saying you do that by just staying connected
mm-hmm.
and staying in tune with God, spending that quiet time,
mm-hmm.
Even in that 20 minutes you have. Staying connected and making that 20 minutes count.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that, you know, God, you know, increase my time with you,
mm-hmm.
even though it's just not an increase in minutes, but the depth
mm-hmm.
that he takes you within that time.
Right.
And it's just a lot of times the why really gets lost.
Mm-hmm.
The why behind what we do really gets lost. And I think especially when it comes to music, not just in the church, but, you know, secular music.
Yeah.
You know, there's some secular music that's not horrible, that's not
right,
bad.
Right, right.
But it can take me to a place where I'm thinking about God.
Yeah.
And but the singer is not referring to God. They didn't write the song. They're not singing to Christ.
Right.
But it takes me to a place of where I am in tune, becoming more in tune with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just I've always really loved music and appreciated it, not in the sense of where I'm good at doing it, like I can play any instrument. Or,
right.
I mean, I wish I could sing. I can sing a little bit. I kind of got my wife, you know, so I can sing in the shower and in the car. I sound good with the radio.
Yeah.
But it's just it's a noise.
Yeah.
And so it's just
the why factor, right?
Yeah, the why behind it. And once you see, okay, I'm good at this, and I do it for Christ, then just kind of going forward and stepping out into that.
Mm-hmm.
And just for everybody who's listening, I just want to encourage you in whatever it is that you may be good at or that you may have a part and a desire for,
mm-hmm.
to go for it, to go for it, but to lead with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my advice to everybody. In everything you do, lead with prayer, because the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
In all things with prayer and supplication.
Yes, sir.
And so that's something I try to live by. And I fall short of time. But, you know, I was just admitting to Rashawn yesterday how when I lead with prayer, God opens the door. He opens the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he allows things to happen to where I can see him.
Yeah.
I see his fingerprints on it.
Yeah.
And I just want to take this time to kind of segue into where it is. Whoever's listening, if you haven't accepted Christ into your life, this is the perfect time. You know, there's no bad time.
Yeah.
There's no bad time. anything that you may be doing that you feel like you're falling short and it's not bearing fruit, welcome Christ into your heart and put him first and allow him to pave the way. Mm-hmm. It may not be the fact that you're not good at what you're doing, but your why isn't in line
mm-hmm.
with what it should be. So I just want to take this time for whoever's listening to just repeat this prayer with me and to welcome Christ into your life and into your heart. And so let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I come to you confessing that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place and for my sin. I now trust in him alone to forgive me and give me the gift of eternal life that he promised to give to anyone that came to him for it. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Amen.
Amen.
And I just want to be the first one to just congratulate you. Just congratulate you, all of you guys who just repeated that prayer and welcome Christ into your life. Congratulations and welcome to the team. Because like we say, at the end of the day, the show is titled The Recruit because that's what we really are. We're all recruiters for Christ. And just like today is a perfect example of that, there's four of us on the show. It's just a conversation. We're all included, but we all have the same purpose, trying to draw people to Christ, because that's what the Great Commission is. That's to go ye and therefore and make disciples. And all that is just recruiting people to be a part of what you are,
mm-hmm.
what you already are a part of. And that's what we want to do. And it's not, I say it every week, it's not my show. It is not my show. It may say The Recruit with Adrian Reese, but I'm just a steward of it right now. This is God's show, and this is our show. We are the voice, and we are to be representations of Christ, images of Christ. And so for everybody who just repeated that prayer, I just want to just encourage you to just continue to or start getting your word and just really seeking God, like DJ said, seeking God, because with every commitment, there's a verbal commitment, which is what you just gave verbally, but there comes a time when you have to sign on the dotted line. And the way we do that is in the life we live every single day. We sign on a dotted line every single day and walking it out, putting feet to our faith.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to thank you. Thank you guys for being on the show. You guys were great in the sense of opening my eyes. And I know whoever was listening, my wife, you opened our eyes to different things. But I just kind of wanted to give you this time to anybody wants to reach out to you guys, whether it be Facebook, social media, however, how would they do that?
You could reach us on Facebook. We're no one special, so I just want to throw that out there. We're nobody special. But, I mean, if you want to add us as friends on Facebook, I'm on Facebook. And then we're both on Instagram. It's just at DJ Whiting. That's my Facebook name. And then on Instagram, we're both on Instagram.
My Instagram is Brianna_Renee7. I'm a weirdo. I don't have a Facebook right now. So that's the only way to reach me, unless it's via email at BriannaWhiting@gmail.com.
Also on Twitter, you can reach me at @I'm_DEJAY_W. And I do follow back. So.
So is there anything, I just want to kind of give you guys this time to just have a final word.
Okay.
Anything that you kind of want to leave or drop in people's ear, whether it be about praise and worship or just a relationship with Christ or just life in general, this is your time. You got the mic.
If I left anything at the table, it would be that worship definitely starts at home.
Mm.
That would be the topper. It starts at home. You can't lead anybody anywhere that you've never been or that you're not trying to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my cherry on top.
Yeah, I would just say that worship isn't about us. It's not about your gift. It's not about how great you think you are, how great people tell you are. It's about how great God is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's ultimately what you and I have been given.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if it's musically, if it's whatever the ministry is, that gift is not yours. It's been lended to you by God
mm-hmm.
for the sole purpose of edifying the church
mm-hmm.
and bring glory and honor to his name. So remember, let us remember that it is not about us. It never is about us. It's all about the glory of Jesus Christ.
And you heard it there. Brianna said, it starts at home. Worship starts at home. And DJ reiterated that in just saying that it's not about us, remembering the why behind it. And so that's, if you take nothing else from it, just take that, that it starts at home. And to just, I'm sorry.
To remember that it's not about us.
Yeah. And
that it's all about God.
That's why she's my help.
That's all
to say. And she grabbed it and pulled it back.
I got to say.
It's my Meg Real.
Yeah.
But, you know, but for me, you guys know you can hit me up. Follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, at Soul, S-O-U-L, underscore Fisherman. That's Soul, S-O-U-L, underscore Fisherman. That's Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me or send a question to me on Facebook. You can follow my blog, adrianreese.com. Shoot me an email, Adrian, A-D-R-I-A-N, at adrianreese.com. Michelle, how can I get in touch with you?
MichelleAndReese@gmail.com.
Now, use that with care. I don't need everybody hitting up my wife. I got to, you know, check what's mine. Y'all can hit me up to get to her. Right? So just disregard the last email. like I said, just hit me up. Shoot me any questions that you guys may have, may want to hear, have answered on the show. Any ideas of guests that you might want interviewed on the show to hear their thoughts. Or any ideas you have for the show, because like I said, it's not my show, it's our show, it's God's show. He leads the way, he is the why behind it, and I want us all to be included and be affected by what's said. And so we'll be back 2 weeks from today with our guests Jim and Tia Floyd talking about active faith. And so be sure to tune back in then at 8 p.m. 2 weeks from today. And until then, be blessed and be real.